Check. Straight up. Dog. Straight up. Yeah. Straight up. Hey. Hey. Bitch, I go by Mike. Ha. Straight up.
One on 1.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. Milwaukee, get ready. One on 1.7 The Truth Family Fest is back. Join us Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School for a free back-to-school resource, live entertainment, family activities, and community fun. Vendors and sponsors can reserve a spot by visiting truthfamilyfest.com or you can hit up Sierra, C-I-E-R-R-A, dot Brown at MilwaukeeBlackMedia.com. Proudly sponsored by Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, Arts, Artists Working in Education, and Incision. Truth Nation, what's the word? We got a special guest in the building. How you feeling, Mike?
I feel great.
You feel great? Yeah. Thank you so much for the information and the knowledge that you have provided us today. I truly, truly hope that anyone, not even the youth, but just anyone in general who feels inspired, step on out. Mike didn't want to mentor me, y'all, but
That's not true.
I'm just talking mess. Let's talk about legacy. So we talked about a lot of, surface level questions about your career and things of that nature. But I want to dig into what matters to you the most. Which matters to all of us the most, which is our legacy. What kind of Milwaukee do you hope your grandchildren inherit?
I hope my grandchildren inherit a Milwaukee that is safe.
Yes.
First and foremost. Way too much violence in the streets that, you know, we have to solve for. And there's no one solution and there's no one immediate solution. Mm-hmm. It's a collaborative effort. That does involve real estate, development, community development. So safety is number one. And then two, I would say empowered.
Yeah.
Knowing that they live in a city where they can literally do whatever they set their mind to. And I think I'm going to just speak for myself as a young black boy at one point in time. I felt that, but I didn't feel like the city, made me feel like that.
Yeah.
Not everyone mm-hmm. is internally, motivated, like that to kind of look past the obstacles.
Yeah.
A lot of times your environment can shape how you think.
Absolutely.
Right. And sometimes we as black people have to shrink ourselves.
Yes.
Right. So I want my children to live in a city, or grandchildren to live in a city. That doesn't shrink, but expands their opportunities and their outlook and their perspectives on what they can do, who they can be, and the impact and legacy that they can have.
Absolutely.
That's my legacy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when history remembers your work, what do you hope mattered most?
That I cared, that I always approached things from a perspective of authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
What you see is what you get, with me, that I have done everything in my power to help shape black Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee in general, but specifically the black neighborhoods in Milwaukee.
Yes.
Because those are the neighborhoods that have been disinvested. Our folks have been disenfranchised. And there's so much repair, needed. So I just hope people, see how genuine I am, how genuinely I want to help fix these problems. We run a for-profit, operation, but it's very mission driven.
Yeah.
In what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get into the lightning round. I'm going to ask you a few questions and then I want you to tell me your answer and why. This is obvious, but given certain people living arrangements, you will understand why I'm asking. But home ownership or renting, and why?
Home ownership long term, because you get the equity, in your home. We were talking about gentrification earlier, and gentrification is really the value of real estate increasing over time, right? Okay. And people being in a neighborhood for a long period of time, mm-hmm. Who bought at one price and now, you know, the prices exceed that, vastly exceed what, mm-hmm. what they bought for, and they can like no longer afford to live in that area. Unfortunately, that's kind of how real estate works. That's the name of the game, is appreciation. Mm-hmm. So this is one of those things of like, that's the game, right? You gotta mm-hmm. Play, you know, the game. Like mm-hmm. if we're not owning it, that doesn't stop somebody from owning it. Somebody yeah. else is gonna Go own to it. Own so it. Play the game.
Yeah. All right. Build new or restore old?
Ooh, I'm gonna say restore old.
Why?
Because there's so much history that exists still. Mm-hmm. That if we don't restore it, it's going to be lost forever.
Yeah.
And I hate seeing, you know, the old buildings that have been vacant for 20, 30, 40 yeah. years. Nobody does anything with them, and then they're torn down, and then you got a vacant lot for another, you know, 20 years or so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vision or capital?
Vision.
Why?
I'm a visionary.
Yep. I'll take it. Mentor or investor?
Mentor.
Information is priceless.
Yeah.
Knowledge is priceless. One Milwaukee neighborhood. What's one Milwaukee neighborhood that people underestimate?
Ooh, lightning round. I'm going to say the 53206 neighborhood.
Yep, that's yeah. where I come from.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I get so emotional when I ride over there mm-hmm. because it's so many memories of what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't understand for the life of me why our people haven't chose to go back and invest, right? We blame everything on the elected officials and so on, but we play a part in that as well. Mm-hmm. It's one of the communities that a lot of the elders still live, but a lot of them are passing away.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't been taught to keep the family, you know, mm-hmm. house in the family. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to sell. So I agree. I say all of that to say I agree wholeheartedly with that answer. What is one word that describes Milwaukee's future?
Promising.
How so? And for who?
For all of us, but I think it's very promising for Black Milwaukee. You know, we have so many opportunities today. That our parents, our ancestors didn't have.
Yeah.
We have access to information. We have access to the capital now. You know, I remember years ago, like, I was headstrong on leaving Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lack of entertainment, lack of options, you know, yeah. that catered to Black culture, et cetera, et cetera. I've fallen in love, you know, yeah. with Milwaukee, you know, in recent years because our generation is now of age,
leading,
right?
Yeah.
We're leading it,
yeah.
you know, and that's going to be like that for the foreseeable future. So it's only up from here.
Yeah, I agree with that. This is my first time back in 3 years. When I leave, I always end up back home. But this time I'm enjoying it a little bit differently. Like I get to create my life now mm-hmm. in Milwaukee, in the new Milwaukee, mm-hmm. should I say. Very entertaining. Finish this sentence. The future of Milwaukee depends on
you.
Yep. You individually. Absolutely. You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
There are so many challenges in Milwaukee, but there are equally so many opportunities.
Mm.
And not one individual, whether it be the mayor or any alder person or whoever is running for whatever position, no one community organizer is going to fix everything. Right?
Yeah.
It needs a community-driven solution and collaboration.
I agree.
You know, it's like, you know, the adage, it takes a village,
yep.
you know, to raise a child. Like, it takes a village, right, to build community, a true sense of community, like knowing your neighbors.
Yes, which matters.
which matters, like, for real.
I say that all the time. We don't have that anymore. Like, when I grew up, we knew, I grew up across from Duchesne. Our families is like 3 or 4 generations in on 14th of Burleigh. And when you grew up, you knew everyone's by their first and last name, mm-hmm. everybody on the block. It was a community. It was a sense of the kids can go out, the youth can go out and play because no matter where they are, someone is looking after them. And I feel like, and to your point earlier about the home ownership versus renting, that's what makes a community, home ownership.
Absolutely.
When you own your home, you care more about not just your home, but the community as well. And then you take care of it because you care. So I do agree that we, the future of Milwaukee is dependent on us as a people individually and collectively, but also that the home ownership piece plays a huge part in what community looks like. And we have to figure out a way to get our people to understand the importance. Because I don't think is that not that I don't think I don't believe is that they don't want to own a home. I just think that there's so many barriers set in place.
Yeah.
Especially information wise, time wise. You got to go to work and you have children. When do you ever have time? Right. Mm-hmm. So figuring out a way to I see people offer classes and things of that nature all the time. But I think we need to offer hope. We need to offer motivation, you know, and some grace. And give people that battery in their back to want to take the time to say, you know what, even though I don't have time, I'm going to try a little bit harder to become a homeowner or to give back in my community.
Right. And it starts at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
Other cultures, I'm sure, teach their children very young.
Yes.
You know, about ownership, owning a business, owning real estate, owning investments, whatever. We as a people, as a community, need to be teaching our young people about ownership.
Yes.
To really amass generational wealth. We love saying that term, generational wealth.
Right.
But like, what does that really mean?
Actually
how,
mean.
How do you, you know, how do you really develop generational, you know, wealth? You have to have assets.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mike. Do you have any shout outs that you want to give?
I do. I want to mention two things because we were just talking about home ownership and we were talking about the 53206 neighborhood. So we are developing 40 single family homes in the Imani neighborhood, which is in the 53206. We expect to be breaking ground on that project later this fall. And it's a rental project, three bedroom, two bath single family homes that will be rented for 15 years at an affordable price, you know, let's say roughly $1,100 a month, new construction. But after that, we're going to be selling those homes for $100,000 to the homeowners. So that's just one way that we're trying to live up to what we're talking about, you know, today and investing in the community and, you know, making sure that the community has these opportunities. So I just want to put that out there. So if people are listening, just follow, you know, a member group to stay tuned for more information so they can sign up and, you know, learn about the project. The other thing is access to information, education. I'm a proud graduate of the ACRE program. Mm-hmm. ACRE is an acronym for Associates in Commercial Real Estate, led by Marquette University. And they have an application that is due in 3 days for the ACRE program. And the ACRE program, you know, is the sole purpose is to expose minorities to real estate development, you know, and teach them, you know, how to properly assess, you know, land and how to put together what's called a performer, a financial playbook, and, you know, all of these different things.
Yeah.
It's a free program.
Yeah.
And it's life-changing for a lot of individuals. A lot of the Black developers that you see in Milwaukee
was a part of it.
Of the ACRE program. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
So LISC.org, I believe is the website, LISC.org is the organization that's managing the applications. And if there's anyone interested and learning more about real estate, I would highly recommend that they check that out.
Perfect. Do you have any personal shout outs you want to give out?
Yeah, I want to shout out my wife and kids.
Yeah.
Always. They are my support system. They motivate me and they're patient with me with all of the long hours, early mornings and late nights of hard work. They're the reason why I get up every day and do what I do.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. Do not forget to go to LISC.com and look up that is it
.org.
And look up that ACRE program. Thank you so much, Mike, for joining us. We gotta go to break. We got another special guest coming up. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. We got some special guests in the building. Milwaukee, the culture is here, baby. What's the word? See money. What it do? T Morgan, what it do? Listen, I'm so excited. We've had some amazing guests all today. We had Craig Berry on first. We had Mike Emmum on, and now we got you all. Introduce yourself. Let the people know who you are, what you do. We're going to start with you, C-Money.
Let's start with Mr. Morgan.
Okay, let's start with Mr. Morgan. Mr. Morgan, what's the word?
What's going on, Jay? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm amazing, amazing. Just, you know, staying busy and helping beautify Milwaukee one brush stroke at a time, one relationship at a time.
You got some bars, boy.
Look. All the things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell the people about you. You know, so, I know, but I want the listeners to know.
Okay, so my name is Terrell Morgan, also known as Ego the Artist. I am a polymath artist, which means I'm good in multiple areas. Some people say I'm a jack of all trades. That's not it.
Yeah.
Currently, right now, I am working on Black Arts Fest. I'm the marketing director for Black Arts Fest this year.
Okay.
I have a gallery night this Friday at Wayfinder on the rooftop on the east side for the east side gallery night. So I'm busy.
Busy, booked and busy.
And obviously I'm assisting my very, very good friend and family.
Yeah.
You know, Charles in this venture with the coalition and everything.
That's dude, weird, man.
We've been together on this road ever since I graduated from college. It was nothing but divine timing, and we are still here.
So. He had to separate the industry from the real. That's why he had to say the government.
Yeah. I mean, you got that.
Absolutely. You want to introduce yourself?
My name is T. I'm T. I'm sister. I'm just here for support.
Okay. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
It's a pleasure to be here in Milwaukee again for the second time. My name's Tool Mama.
Where you from?
Savannah, Georgia, the west side, to be exact.
Okay. And then what do you do?
I'm a rapper.
All right. Let's get it. And then we got...
Deontay, brother.
Deontay, brother. Deon, I like that.
I like that.
But what you go by? And what you represent?
Street politician.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Come on,
I'm a huge fan of that name.
Okay, then.
Because we know we need some street politics, some street politicians, for real, for real.
Absolutely.
We need some. So let's get into it. Today we've been talking about culture, and we've been talking about professionalism, right? And you all have been, we know how I go in this industry, especially as an artist. As a former artist, I'm grateful to have had certain people in my life who were able to teach me, shout out to Homer Blow, because Homer is actually one of them, teach me about professionalism, what it means to show up and how you show up, and what it is that you do. Terrell, let's start with you. How important is it for the younger generation to understand what it means to be professional, even as an artist? No matter if they're painting, poetry, music, or whatever the case may be, what does that mean?
Simply put, professionalism gets the money.
Yes.
Okay, if another professional is going to pay you to do something and you're not professional, then they're probably not going to trust you.
Yep.
And so trust is a big thing in being professional and making sure that you do show up, making sure that you are appropriately done up and all the things.
Yeah.
So it's very important to be professional. I mean, the music industry is 90% business, 10% talent in a lot of instances. And sometimes people may want to differ.
Yeah.
5% talent, 95% business. So, you know, you really have to understand that people, you know, you got to have people to protect you.
Yeah.
Like yourself, because that can really unravel the professionalism.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly when people don't do you right. So.
Absolutely.
Maintaining that level of emotional maturity and that dignity about yourself as you're going forward for your goal.
Yeah.
Not necessarily letting someone else deter you off your path.
And you brought up a good point. That's why I don't rap no more. I don't rap nowhere because sometimes the 14th of Burla just comes out with people playing my face. Let me stop. See, Money, you have been in the industry for a long time. On the scene, behind the scene, you have done a lot for not just Milwaukee culture, but Atlanta culture as well. What is your take as it pertains to professionalism and the new age artists that we have today?
Professionalism?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of people don't really care to have it.
Yeah. You know?
So, like T said, though, that get the money, though. And that's kind of where we at with it, right? It's like street politician represent that. It's like, he say, like, Terrell, like, we met so early on, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was really the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, it was divine timing. So, oh, okay, my bad. Okay, yeah, so when I met T, really, he really my cousin for real, right?
Mm-hmm.
Me and his daddy was very close. But he didn't, unfortunately, he didn't have the relationship I had with his daddy. So at the time, me and my brother, we was, you know, pivoting, right? So that's when I seen him in the mall.
Yeah.
And he just so happened to be in the career that we was going into, right?
Yeah.
So he was like the first person to ever kind of, you know, have to listen to me and Deontay kind of do this, that'll fit.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. So he was able to compete in a major rim, right? And then once my brother kind of like brought Ken home, right, and said, help me with him, I kind of forced Terrell to do all of the covers for Kenny. So when him and Deontay was on the road, it would be just me and him moving around, right, in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of was taking it serious because, you know, we all got a pass, right? That's why we focusing on the nonprofit and things of that nature.
Right.
But, you know, that's another story of how that all came about. But longer to short, we took our talents down south, right? And really, you know, made some of it.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why we're here right now to, you know, bring talent and take talent back.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Absolutely.
You know.
So we come from an era where we know that the culture in Milwaukee was not lucrative for artists or for people who were creators, right? Thinking back to back in the day when we was hitting that road, hitting that pavement, going back and forth from here to Atlanta, here to the Core DJ retreats, wherever we were going, do you feel that the culture has changed now in Milwaukee to the point where it's okay to come back home and to actually be successful and live here and do what you do at the same time?
Yeah, digital changed that for a lot of places, though.
Absolutely.
Not just Milwaukee, right? Like, being in this space, right, where you used to get the records early when no other body had them, right? Like,
yeah,
you getting them fresh from the studio. But now you can upload them and everybody will get them in 2 seconds. You could do it on your socials and all of that. Like, when I first got to Atlanta, you couldn't even take cameras in the club.
Yeah.
Nor have, you know, the phone cameras wasn't even that good then. So when I would get the content out of the clubs, it was, like, exclusive. So I just remember stop filming in the clubs because everybody had cameras, right? So it was all about the exclusivity. So once that stopped, the music became kind of not exclusive either.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So now it's kind of like everybody got a playing field. So a nigga out of Milwaukee got just as much action as a nigga wherever the fuck they live. Oh, excuse me. Whoever they live, for real, my bad.
Yeah, it's okay.
But I mean, I'm saying, though, you know, we got action for real. And then look, I'm a real vessel for the town. I ain't never put it down. No matter where I'm from, they know where I'm from. You know what I'm saying? No matter where I'm at, they know where I'm from.
Right.
And like you say, if you know me, you know I done been everywhere but here for like 16 years. So, you know, I'm still Milwaukee County, though.
Yeah.
53206 to be exact.
Yes, indeed.
53206 indeed. You know, adding to what Charles just said, I mean, street politician just said, sorry. Adding to what he said, you know, the overall importance of the business as it pertains to an artist, the fact that you have so many different tools out here, so many different apps, so many different technologies that really empower the artist.
Yes.
And, you know, and the culture has definitely shifted because you really have to build your audience yourself organically. Like, I know that, you know, there's a lot of executives, and I know Street can speak to this, where if you don't have a certain amount of following, they're not even going to consider you.
Absolutely.
You know, until you get your numbers up. And so that goes about the professionalism, the business, the branding, and all of that together.
Yeah.
You know, so the landscape has definitely shifted, but now it's like an artist is more so like a star in the universe.
Yeah.
Versus, right? Versus a person in the city, like it used to be.
Yeah.
It's different now.
Yeah.
Everybody can pick up their iPhone and get on an app and record themselves over a hot beat.
Yep.
Back in the day, you had to get all the beats made.
Yeah.
You had to go to a real studio. Like,
it's not transactional.
No, not at all. You know, it was a different art.
Yeah.
You know, and I can even speak to that for my graphic design even.
Yeah.
You know, from where you have to lay out posters and everything on paper.
Yeah.
Then you had to lay them out on computers. And now you have computers laying them out themselves with AI.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a shift. And the important thing to do is to really keep up with the times.
Absolutely.
As an artist, and make sure you stay on the pulse of what's going on and trends and everything. Absolutely.
You know, this is like the first time for me that I felt so good coming back home. It made me feel like 05. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Culture-wise, music-wise, like I feel like it's a different wave, but I feel like we've accepted our stars at home more than we've ever had before. And now that they're opening up doors, is making it easier for people to want to come back. Like when I go down to the A, y'all know y'all there. When you in Atlanta, when you in LA, when you in New York, the people that's the movers and shakers, they live there. They're from there. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, at what point can we build Milwaukee up to where you feel safe enough to be successful without having to dim who you are,
right,
and still live here at the same time? We got some special guests in the building. We got to go to break to pay some bills. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. We got some special guests in the building. C-Money, you want to do the introduction?
Yeah, it's Toon Mama, right? She all the way from the water. You feel me? And she from the game. Don't play crazy. Hey, Toon Mama, tell them what's happening.
Yeah, it's your girl, Toon Mama. I go by Toon Mama. I'm from Savannah, the west side, to be exact. Whatever you want to know, I'm here to tell it.
Well, welcome to Milwaukee again, first and foremost.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank you for joining us today as well. Can you give us a little bit of, well, let me ask you this before we get into it. What's your thoughts on Milwaukee? You said this is your second time being here, right?
The first time I was here, the weather was kind of catchy. Like, yeah. I'm going to say the weather was catchy. It was, like, warm, and then it was cold, yeah. And then it was giving me mixed signals, but it was cool. Like, the vibes was good.
Yeah.
Everybody that I ran into, everybody that I met, they all had good spirits. And I'm like an energy type of person.
So yeah.
When I ran into people, they was real nice. They was inviting me places, this and the third. Everybody was just real genuine.
Yeah. So
I was really fucking with it.
How did you,
I can't cuss. Okay.
How did you get into the music?
I got into music because, really, I used to be rapping with my friends and stuff, like in middle school and stuff. We used to sit in the back of the classroom, beating on desks with youngsters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And our little huddles and doing all the things. But it really wasn't that major then. It was just like playing around. But I don't know. I ain't going to say I knew I was going to be a rapper, because I didn't know I was going to be a rapper. But life made me a rapper.
Yeah.
Going through stuff. You know, being not wanting to really talk to people, I'd rather just write it down or put it in my notes. I ain't never really wrote it down because I ain't never want nobody to find what I got going on. But
I was going to ask you that. How does the music make you feel? Like the feeling of it all. Is it a way for you to, I know you mentioned venting, but is it a way for you to kind of escape from reality? How do you use music?
I wouldn't say it's a way for me to escape from reality, because everything I talk about in my music is like fakes. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't rap about nothing like this on a facade type of level. So it's more so, you know, it's just me talking my little talk, you know, saying what I gotta say, getting it out there, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I love music though. Music is one of my everydays. Like, I write the best music when I'm driving.
Yeah. Yep. I feel you. Who were some of your inspirations growing up as far as music?
Growing up, I'ma go with Nicki Minaj, Gucci Mane, Future, Bootsy, Webby.
Yeah.
Camouflage, because I'm from Savannah, so definitely Camouflage, definitely Camouflage. Booger, because I'm from Savannah.
Yeah.
When I got a little older, it became Don Tripp, and you know, it's a various amount of people. Everybody just, it just hit different.
Yeah.
I used to be on my white girl stuff sometimes. I used to like Pink. I used to like, I used to like Ed Sheeran. You know, it's a lot of different genres that I like. It all depends on the situation. Like,
what did you take from those people and as far as inspiration in order to help build who you are now?
Well, I ain't gonna say I took nothing from them, really, because my music reflect on me. You get what I'm saying? So I could say that they encouraged me to keep rapping because I used to like how I sounded rapping. Like, remember, I knew when I was little and I used to go to A to Z Lyrics and I'm getting on there, memorizing the lyrics, making sure I know every word, bar for bar. Like, I knew it was something about it, but I never knew, like, it was going to be rapper per se.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everything about me is authentic, so I can't really say I got something for somebody else because this coming straight from the land, like, straight from out of water, like, I don't know.
Yeah. What did, What is your take on the industry now as it pertains to the female rap artists, and what separates you from them and what has already been done?
Well, I feel like, you know, when it comes to female rap artists in today's world, I guess I say in 2026, you got either the Summer Walkers or you got the Sexy Reds.
Mm-hmm.
It's really no in between, for real. Like,
yeah.
You either going to be this type or you going to be this type. Or you going to have something that fall in the middle. Like I said, I'm from Georgia, so you going to have, like, the Amarettas, very lyrical.
Yeah.
Like, always going to spit a nice, I'll keep about it, because always going to spit a super nice verse, but be overlooked because she don't rap around certain stuff. You get what I'm saying? Yep. So it's like, I'm like 6'7" with it. Like, I could get there.
Yeah.
I could go there. But that's not what I always want to talk about because I don't want to pride myself on, you know, coochie. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know, you know. I really got the best of both worlds because I'm not really on a SZA type vibe and a Summer Walker type vibe. I ain't really never like lovey-dovey type vibe.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it come to this, I like Sexy Red. I love Sexy Red. Like, I can't complain.
Yeah.
I ain't got nothing I can complain about with Sexy Red, Carisha, none of them.
Yeah.
I ain't got nothing I can complain about, but... You know, they either place you in that category or that category. I would want them to stop doing that.
Putting us in a box.
Stop putting us in a box. Everybody ain't going to always be about this or that. Like, why I got to be super strong out by the nigga? I don't want to be super strong.
Yeah.
Oh, why I got to be super strong out by a man? I don't want to be super strong out by a man. I don't want to be always crying about a man. Yeah. Like, that's not my MO. I'm not always upset by the man. Like, a man ain't always got me in my feelings. He ain't always got me down bad. Like, I'm Mrs. Get the F phone and go. You feel what I'm saying? I ain't bleaching no clothes. I ain't doing none of that extra stuff.
So much energy.
I'm ready to go ahead and get you from around me. Yeah. It's the fire.
Yeah.
World.
I do agree. I feel like they put us in a box, but they just changed how they put us in a box in each generation. So for me, back when I was doing music, it was difficult for me because I had two children and I was young. And back then, they weren't accepted to women having children in the industry, like how you see Cardi and Megan and all these women now. When they're out here and they're floating, it wasn't that for me.
Right.
You know, so it was a little bit different. And then it's like, you got to rap this way. I'm a pop head. I'm a hip hop head. So I wanted to really, really rap. But because the industry was the way that it was, it's like, and then during that time, that's when I was rocking with Zaytoven and Nicki was on the rise.
Yeah.
So it's like she was starting to become the blueprint. Like, but you either going to be
Nicki
this or
that. Nicki literally went like every dimension though. Like, she was hitting like.
Yeah, she did. But when she first started, I feel like they built a lot of the female rappers around that.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't agreed. Top that, you know, and this is not the Nicki now, this is Gucci Man Nicki.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When Miss Dead was managing her, right? It's like they built it around that, and then that made it more difficult for other female rappers because if you was into the Remy Ma's and the Shauna's, they had already laid the blueprint with that style, which then put us back into a box, you know? So I feel you when you say that. Like, it's either this or that.
It's either stressed about a man.
Yeah.
Or how should I say it since I can't cuss? A super bopped out.
Yeah.
They want you to be like extra six sales. Like, it's either I'm finna be stressed about my man and I'm finna be crying.
Yep.
Or I'm finna be
out here just punching everything.
It's either or. And it's like, you know, when it comes to that type of stuff, you got the outside people looking in that's really basing people's songs off of their personal, like,
yeah.
That don't mean that's just what them people want to rap about. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't really know what category I'm falling. People always say I remind them of Sexy, but I don't know, you know.
Yeah, you're going to figure it out. We got special guests in the building. We got to go to break to pay some bills. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler.
Hey, hey. Yeah. Told them up. Light it up. Birdman, motherfucker. Clips.
Yeah. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the American, I'm sorry, the award-winning 101.7 The Truth at the American Family Insurance Studio in the beautiful heart of downtown Milwaukee. We got some special guests in the building, T. Morgan Tune, baby. And C. Money, what it do? What's the word?
What up, though?
Yeah.
Listen, so one of the things I want to talk about, and I know that you guys can relate, I just came back home in November. I just moved back. And I always find myself coming back, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the second time I came back. And I come back because as much as I love other places, is no place like home. And I just want Milwaukee to get to a point where we don't feel like we can't, where we don't feel like we can't be successful and be here at the same time. Watching both of you guys' journey, including mine, I've seen the work that y'all have done. I've seen what you've done with trying to bring resources back to the city, right? Do you feel like the city is appreciative of that, or do you feel like we still have a long way to go?
I mean, heck no. No, I'm going to say it like this, right? It's kind of like I was a young parent, right? Mm-hmm. Like, unfortunately, me and my brother lost our father young, right? So that put me in parent mode young, right?
Yeah.
So everybody that really, really know us know I slick raised him since he was a child, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. He was 10. So check it out.
Rest in peace, Pape, too, man.
Rest in peace, bro.
You going to get that, but you got to still deal with it because it's your responsibility, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't do no tripping about nobody feeling like, dog might be trying to get me. Dog might be trying to, you know.
Yeah.
That's what my kids going to say.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm going to still be there for them and show them, right? So they can't never say, I ain't did it. Everybody saw me do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was the guy at Playmaker selling cheddar DVDs out of 600 Benzes and stuff. So this is a real thing. This ain't fake. Like, I learned how to do marketing by doing it, though.
Yeah.
Right? Like, really just taking the initiative to put it down. So I'm saying, you know, my history ain't no mystery. Like you said, you know me. So everything I'm going to say, y'all could tell these kids. I ain't got to tell them nothing.
Yep,
like,
your homes ain't playing.
Like, it's documented. You can see this, right? So we just providing opportunities, right, with the no-nonsense mentoring.
Yeah.
We just providing, you know, that. Like, internships, like how you got the young lady helping back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, we're doing that as well, you know, across the world, because with the Coalition DJs, we have different chapters, right?
Yeah.
So we can position a kid from Milwaukee that's going to school somewhere else and say, hey, it's a text message for me, right? You know what I'm saying? So I can do that. So if we can get the children to understand that it's real, they'll take the chance and do it.
Yep.
And it ain't going to do nothing but help them.
Yep, absolutely. I think that one of the reasons why I love doing this, and me and Meech talk about this all the time, is because y'all know the history here. We don't really have a culture where they're accepting to allowing our people, like the real culture, you know, come in and do interviews and things of that nature. But I always talk about to our peers how much we have to start educating, like those who are in these positions.
Absolutely.
We have to start educating the youth on who did what before they started doing it, so that they will understand when the opportunities come, they're not coming from a random person. They're coming from somebody. We was doing this before Instagram and Twitter. So a lot of stuff,
right,
unless you got a cheddar DVD or something like that, we weren't able to really capture it. You know what I'm saying? So we have to begin to show them. That doesn't make it sound old.
Oh, man. Nah, I just what you said, it made me think, right? Because I remember going back and forth with my round, like, put Tony on the cover.
Yeah.
He like, why? Right? He looking at me serious. Like, why? Like, who is this nigga? I'm like, trust me.
Yeah.
Right? I knew Tony had just bucked on 50 them with the Young Buck. I mean, excuse me, Young Buck stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I knew that was circulating in the industry, right? But like you say, it wasn't online or nothing. Yeah. Nobody knew this. Yeah. But I knew this, right? So when I turned Buddy on to Holmes, we walking in the ARJs. He don't even want to meet T at all. Right? This is an East Coast nigga. He don't think nothing of the town for real, for real. Yeah. Like, you know. So, oh, my bad, Woody. So, okay, so when I get Holmes in the club to meet him, right, you know, Tony went to popping it on him, right? Yeah. I ain't lying. He knocked him cold.
Yeah.
So I was like, he kept saying the name when we walking out. I'm like, yeah, I told you. Yeah. So longer than short, he still wasn't budging on the cover move, though. I forced that. Now, by me doing the coalition stuff, I'm able to meet a lot of people in the industry that you normally wouldn't meet because they behind the scenes folks. They don't want no fans, right? Yeah. So they telling me how they know a nigga like, I mean, excuse me, know a guy like Tony, right? They saying, yo, I seen him on this, woo, 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 woo. But they don't even know I was doing that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, I really was helping in a real way. But that was like my first rodeo to being able to tell somebody from the East Coast to help us, right? But I was helping him.
Yeah. Right.
Like, T, you know, like when I asked him to do the design, you know what I'm saying, for the Magnum, Terrell designed that.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? And I, you know, through my marketing ways, I got it wrapped, right, for a swap. So we did a commercial for them, and we got the Magnum wrap, right? So it was a free, you know, but I knew it could work.
Yeah.
So when I left Milwaukee, I wasn't doing no tripping because I knew I really knew what to do, right?
Yeah.
So now we able to just make it be what it's supposed to, and we don't got nobody in the way. You know what I'm saying? You know who I am. You know what's happening with me. So, I mean, it's just like that right now.
Yeah, part of it, not the gatekeepers. Right.
Yeah, I mean,
right. That's one of the problems with I believe with our city is that you have a lot of gatekeepers.
Yeah. Push your mic up to you.
We have a lot of gatekeepers that don't necessarily support our genuine organic culture.
Yeah.
If it's not posed and positioned in a certain light, they hood, they ghetto, they not ready.
Right. Yeah.
Where the reality is that this person is highly, highly intelligent. You have no idea who this person is, but because they speak a certain way or they dress a certain way, you pass judgment. You don't allow them to enter into doors, or you may not introduce them to certain people that can actually push their career because of the way that they look.
And they're an actual reflection of what Milwaukee looks like.
Absolutely.
Not that Milwaukee, but the real Milwaukee.
Right. And so once we start peeling off all of these lenses of stereotype and malice and judgment and greed, then we can really start to grow.
Yeah.
You know, we lead with love. You know, we grow. You know, we get rid of old ways. And we do things that are truly beneficial for the future.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what we have. Like, once we get older, it's going to be the youth that's going to take care of us. And if we don't put loving arms around them,
come on now,
they will put cold hands on us.
I keep talking about that. Like, that's why I pour so much into them.
Mm-hmm.
I pour so much into them. Absolutely. Because they're going to be the ones running this city. Yep. I'm almost 40. I have two adult children. And I'm looking at their peers and I'm like, ain't no way.
Yeah.
I'm going to let y'all take care of me, right? But instead of me stepping back, you know what I'm saying? I step up, and to be honest, they need it.
They do
like
need
it. They want it from us. The reason why they're doing what they're doing is because they're getting it from people who they can't relate to. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People that don't come from where they come from, that don't look like how they look. And when you look at just the state overall, look how long it even took for some of us to get in these positions.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, we all know what the reality of our history is.
I feel like we're not gonna
turn a blind eye to all the different.
We are our own biggest enemy though in certain aspects though.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah,
I agree.
Because I mean,
you remember Samuel L. Jackson and Django?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. You got a lot of those out here.
Because it's a lot of people who feel like it's only enough. But you know, the more I do what I do, the more I start to remember my calling and my purpose. Mm-hmm. And one thing's for sure, two things for certain. What God gave me can't be bought, and it can't be replicated.
Absolutely.
You could take the recipe, but it ain't going to taste the same.
Exactly. Bars.
But look, to your point, right, that's crazy you say that. I was just telling my round that, you know, a lot of this stuff, like even public speaking, right, I don't do it, right? Mm-hmm. And because it's you, I did it, though. For real. And because of who I'm bringing.
Yeah.
I believe in them.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So I take
warm fuzzies.
But I thank you for that.
Nice stuff.
And it's needed. It's needed because we never get to hear, like, this is it's time. You know what I mean? Like, we have to, like, we're the adults, the unks and aunties. Mm-hmm. We have to start documenting. 100%. This stuff, you know what I mean? 100%. Because now we're living in a society that's social media based. So a lot of the work that we put in, it was pre-social media. However, it doesn't take away from what we've done.
Right.
So now we just have to double, you know, run it back.
Absolutely.
And
reposition
it. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that they can see it. Y'all got any shout outs before we get out of here?
I want to just shout out, you know, the city of Milwaukee. You know, shout out UJ, you know what I mean, Jazz. You know, shout out Street Politicians, shout out my Savannah folks, you know.
Shout out
Black Arts Fest, Anitra Riley, shout out, you know, I love my people, shout out, you know, Coalition Milwaukee, shout out Meech, you know, for sure. Shout out, you know, Heathen, you know.
Shout out to Coalition DJ, shout out to my sister T, shout out to you, shout out to my folks at Savannah, shout out to my church, tuning in that dude. Shout out to Street Politician. I love Street. Shout out to all the Coalition DJs from here to Tennessee to Atlanta to wherever they off. Yeah.
I know, that's right.
Yeah.
All over.
Yeah.
All over.
Shout out to the west side of Savannah. We here.
Yes, indeed.
I just want to shout out to my sister, Toon Mama. She been working real hard to get to where she at now. Shout out to her manager for pushing her to her full potential. Shout out to her kids, because she do this for them. Yes. We love them dearly. I love her, and I'm rocking with her. Real pops.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, somebody real pops, baby.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to shout out to my partner, Black, right? Because he helped me really kick it off with his label, him and Sody.
Yeah.
And they brought some real talent there. Like, you know, I like the girl, you know, So Glow. She hella, she's very nice. Yeah. And Sally, right?
Yeah.
He got a, you know, he's super hard.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he just did a song with my round, Tajay. Like, we've been helping him through our Dallas chapter, right?
Yeah.
So Tajay come through. He got a nice hit record that they've been pushing on TikTok.
Yeah.
So hopefully that song does well. I'm excited to hear what they got going. But that's what it's about. Like, the guy who brought him, who he signed to, I helped him get a Cash Money deal. Like, this is stuff that really went on. You know,
yes,
that happened before COVID, though, so that artist, you know, he didn't really have the patience, and he, you know, he young dude having his own paper, so he took himself off the label. So, you know, now he got a new artist, and we're going to see what he made of. So he going to double back and come party with y'all and kick it, but that's what it's about. I want to shout out to the town, though, Milwaukee County, for real.
Milwaukee County.
Like, this is a real thing, guys and girls.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, man,
listen.
North Side. I'm from Atlanta, but I miss Savannah.
Shout out to Georgia. Shout out to the A. Shout out to Milwaukee. Make sure y'all tune in tomorrow for the morning show with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman. And tap in 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We will be back.
You're listening to WGKB Waukesha,
101.7 FM,
The Truth,
and 1510 AM,
W269 DL,
Milwaukee, a Milwaukee Black Media Company.